be distracted part two, I suppose. But anyways, it is what it is. Hallelujah. But he's in his 80s. I'm looking forward to my 80s. Somebody said, I wish time would stop. I'm getting old. No, don't wish time would stop. You're getting older. Just get on up in the anointing. Hallelujah. Ride in on the wings of faith. Hallelujah. Don't be distracted by your body. Don't be distracted by the circumstance. Don't be distracted by people that are crippled and can't do and all of that. Pray for them. Pray for God to bring them up and get on the wing. But you know what? Let the Word of God be your evidence. Let the Word be your evidence. Don't be distracted by things like that. Hallelujah. I was thinking about it this morning, how the Bible says, Paul told Timothy, he said, endure hardship as a good soldier. You know, endure hardship. And I thank God, because you know what? My wife and I, we don't brag on our past. We were dumb. We were young. We were lost. We were, you know, stupid. I mean, we did some things we would never have done had we been Christian, and even thinking right. But you know what? When that happened at the bank, I thought, good Lord, I could just see her. She drug a girl out of the car one time right in the middle of the street at the red light because we couldn't run them down, and drug her out and beat her up right there in the middle of the, in Huntiana, just at the red light, you know. I could see her going to my bank, you know, and all of that, you know. And as time unfolded, you know, in that situation, she wasn't distracted. That thing tried to distract her, divert her from her faith, from her calling, from you know, being a witness, you know. And I know she's telling the story, but I lived it. I mean, it's a point that I thought, you know what? I'll go down there myself. They're not going to put her through this all the time at the bank. I'll go down there. There's banks all over the world. You know, and I thought, I'll not let my wife go through this hardship. I'll go down there. So she went. I told her, I said, I'm going to check my cows. You know, I said, you want to ride? So she gets in, you know, we go over there. And I'm getting out, you know, and I'm opening the gate, and I got back in, you know, and I said, I'll go down there. You know, I'll go down there. I'll take all that money out of that bank, you know, all of my personal church, our savings, all kind of stuff. I got all kind of, I got a lot, you know. And she said, no, don't, this is good for me. This is good for me. And I thought, that's what not being distracted is. You're moving forward. You got your battles going on without another battle. You know, Chris was telling me, he's asking, he said, I might get a little happy with the bass. You know, and he's telling me about, he had asked God this and this, and God had answered and all of these things, you know, and praise God. And I thought that, I told him, I said, you get happy. Because God's answering us. God's moving for us. And you know, what you might be asking for God might not mean a whole lot to me because it's not my life that I'm having to walk that walk. But God hears it. And if we don't get distracted off of God, Satan has a strategic plan. Most Christians that listen to the debate, and I'm not going to get into that today, you know, because I could care less. I know what I'm going to do before November 5, after, in, on, after. I know already what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to trust God. I do care what happens, but in light of the power of God and the kingdom of God and the anointing of God, I could care less. You know, but I was thinking, I'm talking to Christians. You know, a lot of them Christians, some of them not, you know, and they're like, I can't watch it. I was getting mad. It makes me mad, you know. And I go on and I think, nah, man, us Christians should be able to hear what we don't want to hear and be in a right spirit. Stay in a right spirit. That's not being distracted, see. And so I said, God, I wish you could hurry up and get this election over. It's bringing too much division and anger and stuff in your people that is not good. It's not good. It hurts us. You know, the Bible says, be angry and keep my mouth shut. You don't say it exactly like that, but it says, be angry, but don't sin. I can be upset, and don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, I mean, the devil speaks to me all the time. But you know what? I don't listen to him. And a politician or somebody can speak to me all they want to, but if I know their plans, their agenda, just like I do Satan's, his is to kill, steal, and destroy. In the Bible, in some of the plan of the enemy now is to take what I've worked for 30 years and laid up. I'm not a broke man. I've worked and saved money and invested in properties, invested in my business and invested. And part of that is equality, take it. That's what the devil wants. He wants me to give to those that don't work. And he told me one time, you know, because I went about wanting to help everybody because I'm in love with Jesus now. And the Bible says, he carried me to a scripture. He said, if a man don't work, he don't eat. He said, if a man won't work, he don't eat. He said, if you won't labor in my kingdom, I won't pour out my kingdom to you. I'm going on the streets one time saying, we don't need to be distracted from what the Bible says. The Bible's clear on abortion. It's murder. I don't care what stage it is. You know, God's against it and I'm against it. And you can't vote for nobody if you're a believer that is for killing babies. Don't be distracted by them. Well, a woman has her own rights. The government should control. Don't listen to all that rhetoric, that hogwash. Let's pray and believe that the next prophets won't be aborted. The next missionaries won't be aborted. The next policemen, the next president, the next mayors. You hear what I'm saying? This is about, I mean, they tried to kill Jesus. It killed them all up to 2 years old in the Bible. It wasn't about politics. It was about the kingdom of God. We're not into politics, but we are into government. We govern this church. We govern. You govern your household, man. You are the leader of your household. Helped some people here financially a year while back and helped them out with their rent for a couple of months. Me and Teresa personally, you know, and all of that. Praise God. Went and get them, you know, help them out with their rent. And then I got home and I sent the man a text. I said, get up and lead your family. Hallelujah. I worked hard for that sick. Well, I didn't either. I believed it in. Believing in is not hard. You know, but it was mine. And so I just sent him a message. I said, see, I'm not distracted by their kids. I'm not distracted by their needs. I'm not distracted by what they're limited. See, we serve an unlimited God. The only limit that God has is people. I'm not going to be one to limit my God. You know, and I'm not going to be distracted by needs. I'm going on the streets down there. I know, you know, it seems like I'm not on politics. Y'all all going to vote. I know you are, maybe. But don't throw up your hand and say it ain't going to matter. No, you're part of the problem. Get in there and help fight the good fight of faith. Do your part. When you do your part, then you get God's blessing, whether it turns out the way that you want it or not. You know, the bank deal, I mean, that was a major breakthrough for my wife, you know. She realizes she needs these adversaries. Satan works for you. If you yield the wrong, now if you go drag her over to the counter and beat her up and get me put in jail too, and that's not good. You're working for him now. Well, don't get mad at your boss. These little bitty things that we think are not major big deals, you know, are major to our spiritual life. They're major to our spirit man. Hallelujah. The things, how we respond all day long to things, how we control our thoughts. We keep our mind on the Lord, not on all of our problems that we have. Every one of us has problems. I got problems in my family. I got problems at home. I got problems here. I got problems. What kind of problems you got here? Don't be nosy. I'm not going to get my nose up in yours and say what all problems you got. You know, don't be a busybody. Just be busy for God. Let's be busy praying and believing God and loosen the kingdom of God in our arena that He's been giving us. I simply refused to turn loose of my son back yonder when he got up in 15 and started getting, it ain't 15, 16, you start getting rebellion. Y'all, some of y'all and some of us 65 years old more rebellious than some of the teenagers. So don't give me that hogwash. It's just them rebellious years. Rebellion is bound up in the heart of the child, the Bible says. And the rod of correction will drive it from them. That's what the Bible says. Don't you believe the Bible? Hallelujah. You know? And so I refuse to give my son to Satan back there by listening to the lies and looking at the way he was and looked like where he was going and all of that stuff, you know. No, I stood on God's word and I wasn't distracted by what it looked like in the natural. I wasn't distracted, hallelujah, by what I was hearing and seeing. And I stood fast in the Lord on it and stood on the word of God, that the God that I serve and the God that I walk with was able to perform the word that he said for me. And he did it. Well, I mean, a lot of people say, well, I mean, you know, I can't do. No, you can do something about it. You sure can. I don't care how bad it is, how bad it looks. Get on the word of God and pick it back up and say, my God said he would supply all of my needs. I need strength through this. I need faith through this. I need joy through this. Not just talking about my bills paid. All of my bills can be paid and my family in a mess and I'm miserable. See, we can't be distracted and manipulated by the enemy. The Bible says that me and you are not ignorant of Satan's devices. He says we're not ignorant. You know, I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, how do I know what's the enemy? This is confusing me. I mean, I don't know what the enemy is, God. And he said, what did Jesus say the enemy is out doing? Well, John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. The more abundant means to the full, till it overflows, nothing missing, nothing broken. But Satan come, the thief come, but to steal, kill, and destroy. And God said, killing, stealing, and destroying. He said, you can see him clear. When a bad report comes to steal your faith, there he is. When he tries to get me to agree with abortion, there he is. When he tries to get me to agree with transgender, there he is. Why? Because it is destroying God's creation. Destroying God. We're made in the image and likeness of God. Right? So I can see it very clear. In the wokeism, everybody needs to be woke. No, we are awake. We're not woke. We're awake. We are not ignorant of the plans, the strategic plans of the enemy coming down the pipeline. Hallelujah. There's a lot I can't control in the natural, but bless God, in this kingdom right here, I have and you have entered a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. You know, at one time I had to turn Travis loose. Turn him loose. I thought, I'm not a good dad if I don't worry about him. I found out in the Bible that worry's sin. Jesus said, don't worry, right? Worry, I told Monty yesterday, I said, worry is an unnecessary mind workout. Unnecessarily wearing your mind out to worry about anything. See, you must see, don't be distracted. It's real easy not to be distracted. You've made your mind up, bless God, you are the head, not the tail. And you lend and not borrow. And you don't allow poverty thinking. You don't allow it. You don't allow brokeism. You don't say it, you're not going to have enough. You make your mind up, bless God, based on God's word, and you're not coming off of it. And it'll come to you. He said, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 28. He said, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to do all that he commands you. What is he commanding you to do? Love him with all your heart and love your neighbor in all of them commandments. The 10 commandments are in them too. I won't commit adultery. I won't covet my neighbor's stuff. I just won't. I'll come out of all of that and I'll believe God. Well, love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself, praise God. And all the law and the prophets are in those two commands right there, the love command. Now you're doing it. And you can expect all these blessings to come on you and overtake you that Deuteronomy 28. And you know how come I know that it works? I'm living it. I'm blessed going in. I say it all the time. I said it when I worked for the other man. See, that Bible has nothing to do with whether you got a job, you don't got a job. You own your own business. You won't own your own. That's not based on none of that. It's based on God said if you will hearken to his voice, if you will follow him. He said that all of these blessings will come on you and overtake you. But now we have an adversary that is trying his best big time to distract God's people through bank. Through pressure in my business. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And the Bible tells me to what? Don't be anxious for nothing, right? When the pressure's on, what am I going to do? That's not going to distract me. See, I have my walk, you have yours. Whatever, and you will not be ignorant of the things that is trying to distract you. Satan's tried to get me to get a divorce for 30 years. 39 years? Is it 8 or 9? 9. Whew. Man, we've been married for nearly 4 decades. Good Lord, we were kids, you know. And Satan has tried, I mean, before we got saved. I mean, he tried to get so much that we couldn't stay together because we had so much dirt on each other that we'd done. I mean, he tried everything. After we got born again, he ain't got me to commit adultery since I got saved. Come on, somebody, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. If I take care of my wife, I ain't got time for all that, but big time. Most times you take care of your wife, you ain't got time for another woman, you'd be dumb. Right? That'd be dumb. You ain't got time for another man, that'd be dumb. Just take care of your, see, what I'm saying is, Satan can't distract you like that. Husband, love your wife as Christ so loved. You ain't got time to be lusting after women. If you do that, you make up your mind to do that, then women can't distract you. I mean, 2 hit on Travis, he's at the beach. I know he's cute, but he ain't that cute. Come on, somebody. I mean, he could shape up a little. But he could tone up like Beth, you know. But no, then we're demonic attacks. He's like, I'm married. She's like, I don't care. Baby, I don't care if you're married, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. What was it trying to do? It was trying to distract him. That was trying to divert him, his attention, and Satan bring and come and destroy his marriage. So, and it happens. It happens with Christians all the time. They go to thinking, boy, I'm hot. And I know Travis has had to fight it, but he's smarter than that. Everybody wants me. No, everybody don't. We know a bunch of them can't put up with you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, even he has to watch that. Woo! Because he's married. Beth, they got 2 kids, you know. And I mean, somebody hit on you like that. I mean, the devil, he's out to what? Kill? You can see it. Can you see it or not? It wasn't just a happenstance. Well, he was down in Myrtle Beach, wasn't he? North Carolina, wherever. Satan's up there too. He's up there too. He's everywhere. But you know what? He come back and his heart's dedicated. And man, you know, he was telling me about it and all that stuff. And I thought a real heart will do it. Will tell you. Because they've not no hidden agenda. They're telling what they saw the enemy try to do. Or he can run over, oh, I got to go see so-and-so. He's always talking about, oh, I'm hot. I'm hot. Them women, everywhere I go, they've offered him numbers here local. Just trying to get his family something to eat. I'm telling you the devil. You know, he ain't taking their numbers, and then he goes and tells Beth. And then Beth's got her trial. Oh, my God, everybody wants my baby. They just don't know what. Oh, you know, she's got her trials. You know why I know that? Because Beth loves Travis. And Beth, when you love Travis, I mean, that means something to you. When you love your husband, you love your wife, I mean, that can create a trial for you. And then some of y'all women, married women and unmarried women, God wants you to have somebody, and you're so locked in your own self, you can't have nobody else because it's all about you. You're distracted. Well, they mess up my carpet. It ain't yours anyways. It ain't your carpet anyways. You know, in just a few years, you're going to leave here, somebody else is going to get that carpet. You're just on borrowed carpet, right? I mean, carpet messing your whole relationship up? Really? Really? Just stay there. You're distracted. And men, same way. I mean, I think, and God would have to change my mind because I might be distracted. You know, but Teresa, I would want you to get somebody else. I wouldn't want you to be alone. And I'm thinking I would not have another woman if hell froze over. Nothing down on women now. I mean, you know, because I want to go get on my tractor when I want to go. And she tells me, supper's done. Did you hear me? And I'm like, well, can't I eat later? Seriously, Johnny, this stuff happens. And I told her, I said, ain't no way I'd get remarried. Oh, whatever. That's just it. I said, I'll get my two grandkids. They live with me, man. I mean, I won't be lonely. You can't get lonely with them too. Ask Travis and them. Bless God, it's always fun at their house. I hear the footsteps out there. Bam, boom. I can't go to the shop without hearing all the commotion. I call on the phone and I'm like, God, I want to tell him, cut the TV off where I can hear what you're saying. And he's like, well, I'm drowning them out. I'm like, man, the whole neighborhood knows what you're watching out here. Praise God. But I told Teresa, I said, there's no way. I'm in my 50s. I said, every woman in her 50s has done got 18 kids. And then maybe not 18, but they've got at least 3 to 5 kids. And they're grown. Yeah, and they've got little minions. And I mean, I'm gonna have to put up with them little minions. And then it's like Aubrey and Aiden multiplied by 18. Never. Never. I bind that devil. Praise the Lord. But you know what? Praise God. If God wanted me to, I make plans, but the Bible says that God directs our heart, right? He directs our heart. But while we're in the game here, while we're in the race here, let us endure hardship. Don't give in to hardship. Don't fall for hardship. Don't be distracted in a brief period of hardship. Because everything in our life is temporary. A financial trial is temporary. But it looks like you're going to have to quit looking at it. Believe God. Don't be distracted by financial pressure. Believe God. Stand believing God. In Ephesians over there, it talks about, and Beth, she's anxious to get some scripture. Now I'm getting some. You can put it up there, Beth. This is Ephesians 6. It says, wherefore, I read it Wednesday night, by the way, wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The wicked. You know, in God, I guess it's been 28 years ago, I saw, and me and Teresa was watching this movie here not too long ago, but about 28 years ago, I just had a revelation on the inside of me why God wanted me to have his faith. And he brought it out to me here while I was, he said it's a shield. I could see me in my spirit, in God's people individually, in like a bubble. You know, they make these balls, they get in, man, and they run, and that thing just rolls, man. I mean, and they'll roll into things and all of that stuff and everything. And that's what I saw in my spirit, that when I utilize and stand in faith, your shield, there's a shield. It says, take the shield of faith that'll quench all the fiery darts of the devil. You know? And so Men Teresa's watching this movie, and it's like pirates on a ship, you know, and everything. And they don't have guns, but they have bow and arrows, you know. All the enemies at that time in the movie had bow and arrows. And they're going down through here, and the enemies are on the each side. They're in the water on a ship. And the enemies are on each side. And at the command of one, when they would shoot their arrows like that, and they'd go up and come down and killing the people on the ship, and the leader would say something, and every shield would come up like this, and it made like this. It just made a roof, a whole roof, and none of them was getting killed because all of those arrows couldn't get in. They couldn't get in. And see, if you don't get distracted, you're in faith. Every man's been given the measure of faith. If you're born again, you already have faith. You have God's faith. And that's what it says in Mark 11. He says, have the faith of God. Have faith in God. But it says, have the God kind of faith, one translation. Then it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you retrieve us. He has attacked, throwing up all night, whatever. Beth says it was eating whatever she cooked, whatever it was. No, it was noodles in a bowl or something. And she's not eating noodles. The girl's down 20 pounds, praise God, hallelujah. And I told her, I said, praise God. You know, I told Travis the other day, I mean, she's on this, losing. Well, she's going to lose weight, man. She's on it. And she's toning up now. I think she's done toning up, got her some stuff to tone up. Her and Samantha, they on a road trip right now. Y'all stay on it. Y'all are help to one another. But anyhow, I told Travis, I said, this is real good. Well, Beth gets on her, you know, and she gained 6 ounces. Oh, 6 ounces. I'm like, it's only 6 ounces, you know. Leave the scales alone. Just stay on course if it's gonna distract you. But I told Travis, I said, this is good for Beth. I said, it's good. I said she's learning, like we all are learning, to discipline ourselves. I said, this is going to help her physically. This is going to help her spiritually, emotionally. It's going to help her in every way practicing discipline. Because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit of God, self-control, discipline. That's why Teresa didn't go whoop the little lady. Thank God. Thank God, hallelujah, thank God. I'd have had to go around Bluntsville for a month or three. Not hope none of her family come to church, for sure. They wouldn't be coming. They're going to come up and testify. Wouldn't be a good testimony, would it? You know, his wife come in here, he done passed me. You know, you could hear, woo, they'd say to do it. Yeah, he'd do it. But don't be distracted. He said, above this, he said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual, talking about different levels and different ranks of demonic forces that is in this earth. I believe if you've ever had a problem with pornography, I believe you're going to have a strong spirit, strong influence of a spirit to come tempt you every now and then. I believe if you've ever smoked marijuana on a regular basis, I believe every now and then you're going to have an attack from the enemy to go. I've been tempted to smoke. I'd gone through a lot of pressure one time, and man, I mean, you know, when I used to get stoned, other than being paranoid the law might show up. I mean, you'll get paranoid about the law when you get stoned, you know, when you're not supposed to have marijuana in the house. I mean, you hear gravels and you run. You look, man, where you stash it right quick. But anyways, you know, I used to just mellow out, man. I mean, marijuana would mellow me out. And I've had thoughts before under great pressure and different things. Man, if I just had a joint big as a power pole, I could be out from under all this pressure. Hallelujah. And you know, my next thought was, you lying devil, you ain't taking me back to that prison. But God, my Jesus is my peace bearer. My Jesus is my refuge. God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hallelujah. You know, and I mean, even prescription drugs, when they're abused. I'm talking about Christians now. Sinners ain't too much listening to us. And that's fine, you know. But when prescription drugs, you know, but they're prescribed by a doctor. That's why when I had open heart surgery, I mean, they're drugging me. Travis K. Harlow, slobber all over yourself. Can't even talk to your son, man. You got to go back to sleep, you know. And so that nurse come in there and I told her, I said, hey, ma'am. I said, which one of them there is them painkillers? And she said, oh, it's this one and this one right here. And I said, I'm over there, and I said, take them back. Oh, no, your doctor. I said, I don't care. My doctor's not, I'm thinking, you're not drugging me no more. I'm not even aware of what y'all giving me. Dude, y'all just got me lit up in here with painkillers. I mean, I'm on cloud nine. I'm down there 3 weeks, and I'm like, really? Not quite. But you know what? My doctor even come in there, and she said, now, Mr. Weston doesn't need you to take the painkiller. I said, but I'm not taking that painkiller. I don't want it. I don't need it. But my mind's, oh, yeah, give me two more. Oh, get me on cloud nine, baby. Man, they figured to put me to sleep. I've been put to sleep 2 or 3 times through to all of that, you know. And I'm like, I told that nurse in there, he figured to put me to sleep. And I said, man, that's some good stuff, man. I said, reckon you can get me a prescription for home for that? Son, you going into la-la land, man. You don't. But anyhow, down here to the kingdom now, praise God. I've watched them go to sleep. I've watched them. I've pulled up at the store, and they're so zoned out on painkillers and Norcos. Praise God. Got started off because they had pain and all of that, and then started abusing them, then buying them off the street. You know, get addicted to them really. Why? There is demonic spirits behind it. There's the money. And I mean, I pulled up one time, and I'm like, good Lord, man, somebody need to wake them up out there. You know, they're, and I said, what's wrong with them? They're on painkillers. Just in the parking lot. I was marrying a couple. I believe it was done back here. And I was marrying a couple. And I mean, I'm going fast as I can, you know, to get y'all married. I don't even really want to be here, man. I mean, I'm having to marry the public. I quit doing that. I don't even want to marry y'all, but we will. We'll do it quick. But anyways, praise God. I mean, she goes to sleep. I told her, I said, man, wake her up. I said, wake her up, man. Come on, we're at a wedding here. Well, you know, she's got on them painkillers. I said, get your wife off of them painkillers. She's killing her. She don't even know she's getting married. She's going to wake up and like, are we married? I'm serious. There's no way she could have knew we're getting married at that moment. You go up like, go home, baby, home. Did we get married? Sure you did. You're in la-la land. You know, you can't function in God that way, see? Somebody come to church one time, they fall asleep. I got after the, oh, I'm sorry, I'm falling asleep. I said, you knew better to take that junk before you come to church. Why'd you take that before you come to church? I don't even take Dristan. You know, I got a cold or something, man. You know, I'm not taking that. Mucinex was my demon. You know, when I was having all that sinus trouble. I think that Mucinex, I want to kill everybody. I turn into Satan. I don't release it, but I'm mad. because it is influencing my spirit man. I'm telling you, when I would take those, and I wasn't abusing them. You know, I mean, I'm trying to get sinus relief, you know, and can't find it. And you know what? I made up my mind. That's why I told my doctor in there, she said, would you quit hurting back there if you'd take that painkiller? I said, no, I'll quit hurting if you'll get that tube out of my lungs, you know. but even brought me home painkillers. I don't know why I'm on painkillers. I'm not. God is. Because it interferes with your spirit, man. It interferes with your faith. It interferes. I'm not saying don't take them. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not your doctor. But I am telling you, if you start having results of demonic activity and different things like that, and oppression and all of that stuff, and sadness and, suicidal thoughts, and all of that will bring it. You know, you better get rid of that. Get rid of that and believe God. Just believe God that you're the. Don't be diverted off by the enemy into a land that you'll spend years and years and years and wish you would have thought you would have changed things. Hallelujah. Right. That's exactly right. Don't be distracted by finances. Stand firm in believing God. You know, worrying about your future, you know, that's a waste of your time. Worry is a waste of your time. Worried about your kids. Worried about your future. Worried about your finance. Worried about your ministry. Worried about all of that is a waste of time. Put your mind in gear towards the kingdom. Your mind stayed on the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Bible, Paul told Timothy, he said, endure hardship as a good soldier. That's staying married sometimes, Johnny. That's standing your ground when you're kids. It looks like everything you've believed and raised and taught and all of that, and they seem to be going in a different direction. Enduring hardship is staying in faith, standing still, watching the salvation of God, waiting on it. That's what enduring hardship is, sometimes with your kids. I have to endure hardship with this church at different times. I mean, I get people, one of my brothers shut his church down. He said, it's an unending cycle. I said, what are you talking about, pastoring? He said, well, I get them all pretty good. And then it seems like they just go back to diapers. He said, I get them pretty good. And then they're back down to, you know, spiritual bay. He couldn't take it. He got to looking at it like that. Well, you know, the Bible says, for me to endure that kind of hardship if I have to, as a good soldier. You know what a soldier is? A soldier is a voluntary, a person that serves with a body of people, believers. Not believers, but necessarily as an army. A soldier. A soldier is somebody that signed up to fight. A soldier is somebody that is in there and they've got one another. If they're real soldiers. They'll die for their brother and sister in there. They'll take bullets. They'll get on the front line. Hallelujah. You know? And he says, endure hardship as a good soldier. You know, and sometimes when lack like me, I was raised 17 in our family. We just never had nothing, to be honest with you, to amount to nothing. No toys, no nothing. You know? We made our own toys and stuff, you know, with hoes and dug roads and our cars. I had a big, big truck, and it was a big stick. You know, ones that we had cars, they were just little sticks. We got under the house and dug our roads and dug garages the back end, and we under the house, and we created our own entertainment with those. Well, you come on up, and you get saved, you know, and if you're not careful, you'll carry that baggage with you. You'll carry it over there, you know, and you'll keep everything. You know, I know ladies that, I mean, they can't throw a butter bowl away. And, I mean, they got tons of butter bowls. Like, you're going to really need that many. But how many bowls can you eat out of? I mean, well, everybody might come over. Well, you got your regular bowls. You're saving them for what? Well, see, that mentality, nothing wrong with saving butter bowls. But it's about believing God. Teresa told me one time, she said, see, I was already distracted from the truth, but God was planting truth in me.
See, and then once you get up and you're standing in truth, then you don't be distracted from it. You stand in it. Well, Teresa come to me. She's out there. She said, you need to throw all them drop cords away. She said, that's poverty. And you're going around saying we're blessed going in. We're rich. You know, she said, how can you keep them drop cords if we're rich? They ain't got no ends on them. They were junk. All cut up and all that, you know. She left, and I thought if she was the one had to work like me and buy the drop cords, she wouldn't be so eager to throw them away. Well, now what I'm doing, I'm fighting prosperity. Come on, somebody. Right then, I'm against it. I'm against getting rid of that so the new can come. But I really didn't see it that way then. And so over the course of a couple of days, I thought, you know what? She's right. God can give me the money to buy brand new drop cords. He can give me the money to do that. And so, you know what? Praise God. I started throwing those drop cords away, and it was hard, to be honest with you, because I was like, what if I need them? What if I need them one day? What if I need them one day? But when I got rid of those drop cords, I was like, whoo, it felt good. It felt, why? I was inviting prosperity, and I can buy all the drop cords I want today. I don't have to keep none of them. If I want to, I got them still taped up and stuff, and I keep them, don't throw them away. But at any moment, I can go roll it up and slang it out there and say, glory to God, I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to Tractor Supply, going to get me a drop cord. Why? Because once I got truth on that, then I wouldn't let nothing distract me. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us, or 2:7, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we don't equate worry with fear. You know, but it's fear. I called it jealous of Teresa. You know, but it wasn't. It was fearful. And it caused me to be in competition with men, you know, because I didn't have what they had or what ride like they had and all that, you know. And I labeled it as jealousy. But see, after I got born again, I realized that it was fear. I was fear of losing her to someone or you know, just losing her. And so then God told me one day, he said, give her to me. He said, give her to me. Don't that sound like 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all your care over on the Lord. That's what he was telling me. I didn't even know the scripture then. And he said, give her to me. And I thought, I don't know how. I don't know how to give her. I really didn't want to do it to start with because I thought, man, he's going to take her. You know, I'm not going to have her. I want her, you know. I mean, I know that's stupid, but that's how dumb I am without Jesus. Well, anyways, praise God. I said, I don't know how. And he showed me how to give her to him. He told me to use my imagination. And then I come to church after that, and I thought, imagination's a powerful thing, man. It's a powerful thing. And I had a revelation on imagination, you know, that God give us this imagination. And so I come to the church, and I said, hey, I said, your mind is a powerful thing. I said, and God's give it to us so we can imagine him blessing us. We can see it. I said, if you don't believe it, I said, everybody shut your eyes. I said, and I want you to see a purple polka-dotted cow. A purple polka-dotted cow. I said, everybody close your eyes. And then when they opened their eyes, I said, anybody didn't see it? Nobody raised their hand. Because you can imagine, see, the Bible gives you vision. And then your imagination is a unique thing that God give you, you know. And so I gave Teresa to Jesus. I rolled her over. I cast her over. I put her in his hands. And there's been times I wished I hadn't have. Y'all, that's not funny. That's good. You can't figure that one out. Sometimes Jesus spoke in parables, so that they here wouldn't understand. Well, anyways, praise God. You know what? 3 decades later. Now, some people would say that's not really a miracle. It is to me. I know what I thought. I know what I desired. I know everything that I wanted, and I got it. I know what I believed God for that was impossible to me before I got born again. I tried it and couldn't do it. And it happened. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? I had to use my imagination. And then I started imagining myself wealthy. I started imagining myself blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city. I didn't just read it. I'm telling my brother one day, I said, you every day you drive, I said, I'm gonna read the Bible the whole time. So I'm reading the Bible everywhere we go, and we go into this subdivision to do some doors. We had two jobs on the truck that day, and I read Deuteronomy. This is about 3 or 4 weeks into it, and every time I read it, I'm over to Deuteronomy. I'm on this thing, man. This is all I'm on right now. And so I'm reading it that day, and I said, we're blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the valley. And we get into that subdivision, we start doing these doors, and a guy across the street come over there, and he said, I got the same size doors y'all put in. I want the same doors you got right here. He said, how much are they? We give him a price. He said, when can y'all do it? We said, we got them on the back of the truck. And so we were blessed to have that job going in. We did that other job. We started out, and I said, it just worked. He said, well, it just worked. I said, we was blessed going in. And then we're blessed coming out. Now we got to go get that other job. We had another job today because of Deuteronomy 28. And then I've used that all these years. Blessed going in, blessed going out. People get sick of hearing it, but I don't get sick of living it. I think it. I eat it. My marriage is blessed because of it. Blessed is the fruit of your body. Blessed is your cattle. I got cows now. I didn't even know cows was in her until a couple of years ago. Never stuck out to me. Then I started believing God for cow. Wanted cows. I thought, well, I got to go read Deuteronomy 28. I hadn't read it in a month or two, you know. I go in there and read it, and it says, blessed is the fruit of your cattle. And I thought, man, there's my cows. I didn't even have no cows yet. I said, there's my cows, God. Glory to God. And I started releasing my faith. Thank you, Lord, for my cows. I thank you, Lord, for my cows. I just bleed my cows in. And you know what happened? I had a guy over there, didn't even have it pastored in yet, and he called me up. He said, hey, he said, I heard that you needed some hay for your cows. I didn't have no cows. And I said, oh, you did you? I said, who told you? He said, I can't remember who it was that was telling me, give me your number. You know, and I said, really? I said, yeah, I just happen to need some for my cows. He said, okay, where do you want them? And I sent him the address. He gets over there, and I didn't even have a tractor to unload hay. He going to bring them over, and I said, hey, man, Rick, we could just roll them off. Can we just roll them off, man? You roll them off? Oh, yeah, we can roll them off. He come over there. We rolled the hay off. He said, how many cows you got? I said, well, they're not here yet. And you're buying hay? I said, yeah, they're on their way. He thought I done bought them somewhere, and they just ain't got over here yet. But you know what? I fed my cows that hay that year. My cows came. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And they've been multiplying. I forgot how many I had one day. They said, how many you got? I said, I don't know. I'm about to go count them. So I went over there and counted them. And I had double what I had when I started. And I thought, man. And this year I got 17. You know, they're bringing like $2 and something a pound, man. You know, that's like 20 grand. Right quick. Y'all hurry up, guys. Eat. I command the blessing on them little rascals. You know, y'all eat. Cure them a little sweet feed. Come on. Put some pounds on. Travis, he tries to eat and gain weight. She's trying to lose it. My cows ain't, they're not, I'm not got them on a diet. So y'all pray for my cattle's increase. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm in agreement with you for increase. But don't be distracted. Don't be distracted by anything. And God will show you. The Holy Spirit will show you what is trying to distract you, what's trying to distract your mind. You know, Satan wants mind control. He wants your mind to be on all the problems and how bad it looks all the time, how you feel, how things sound. So if he can get your mind, he can mess with your spirit. You know, but if you keep your mind stayed on the things of God and on victory, pray good things, then he can't control your spirit. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you.